Shall we pray? Father God, we have offered you the praise of our hearts. We have opened our hearts to your presence. And now we ask that we would hear your voice. So may the words of my mouth and the thoughts and meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. This morning we're looking at a question I'm sure you probably all ask at some point in your lives. In fact, you probably all ask it at some point in the last week. And it's the question, is it possible to start again? You know, we sort of look around at the state the world's in. Or we look at the state our society is in. Or we look at the state that some people manage to get their lives into. Or we think of the state that our lives are in from time to time. And we wonder, is it possible to start again? Behind that question, of course, there's a wee anxiety, a wee niggle, that maybe it's not. Maybe it's not possible to start again. We sort of picked that up in the reading today towards the end. No, it's not possible. You know, I'm never going to change. We're never going to change. Society's never going to change. The world's never going to change. It's always the same. It'll always be the same. It's not possible to start again. So it's a question that we've had to face up to every now and then. Do we have any grounds for hope at all? For ourselves, for the world, for people we know and love? Do we have any grounds for hope at all? And of course, the answer that Jeremiah has given us in today's reading is yes, we do. Yes, there is hope. But only if we keep God in the picture. Only if we keep God in the picture. For the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at some of Jeremiah's words. Jeremiah was a prophet, okay? A prophet is someone that God chooses. They don't choose God. God chooses them through whom he's going to speak to the people, to about what he wants the people to hear. And Jeremiah is known as the reluctant prophet because he didn't want to do it. He sort of knew that the things that God was going to say to him wasn't going to make him very popular. So he wasn't all that keen at all. And yet, earlier on in the book of Jeremiah, he talks about this. He talks about the fact that the words burned within him until he got them out. He had no choice in the matter. So he's Jeremiah, the reluctant prophet. And we're going to be looking at some of his words. Before we look at the words that he shared today, though, a bit of context to help us understand. If we think things are bad today for us, for our society, for our world, they're nowhere near as bad as they were in Jeremiah's day. In Jeremiah's day, Judah was in a completely hopeless mess. Judean society was just getting worse and worse and worse. The leaders of Judah were rubbish. You think political leaders are bad today, you should go back to Jeremiah's day. They were even worse, okay? They weren't helping at all. They're making things worse. They were leading the people in the wrong direction. And on top of all that, a bit like vultures circling, the enemies of Judah were gathering. And they were just biding their time, waiting their chance to move in for the kill. So things weren't good at all in Jeremiah's day. So to the people of Jeremiah, of Jeremiah's day, God gives this message. And it's a picture. And it's an interesting picture. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, go down to the potter's house, and there I'll give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. I typed in the phrase, the potter's hand, into the Google search engine, and I saw what came up. And actually, what came up on the image, in their image file, was amazing. I mean, the whole experience of looking at all the different images of the potter's hand, I find quite moving, quite thought-provoking. And I've chosen this one because I think it's the best. Well, I think it's the best. I think it's the most real. But could I recommend the exercise to you? You know, if you enjoy Googling, when you get home, type in the potter's hand, push the image button, see what comes up. It's really quite fascinating. Because it's a lovely image. Lovely image. It's an image, for me, which captures the gospel in a oneer. It captures this idea of creation and redemption in a oneer. And it's very, very powerful. And so we're going to be thinking about this image today, what it meant for Jeremiah's day, but also what it means for us today. The idea of the potter and the clay. And here are my thoughts. Firstly, I think it's clear, the message is clear. Who do you think the potter is? Any ideas? Any idea who the potter is in this image? Oh, you're all mumbling to yourself, but no one's going to be... Yes, Christine! God, well done. Points for you. Okay, so God is the potter. Who's the clay? You sort of knew this was coming, didn't you? Any idea? Randy, you know who the clay is, the clay. We are the clay. So it's not rocket science, folks. It's not rocket science. God is the potter. We are the clay. It's an image you find throughout the Bible. Here are just some of the images of the times in the Bible that image crops up. Right at the very beginning, Genesis chapter 2. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living thing. God is the potter. We are the clay. Here's something from the book of Isaiah, which spells it out. O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. And here's one of my favorite psalms, Psalm 139. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God is the potter, and we are the clay. God is the creator. We are God's handiwork. Okay? So that's the first thing that I think it means. The second thing sort of flows from that. It means that creation for God is a hands-on experience. That's why I like this image, because the potter's hands are covered in mud. It's a hands-on experience. God doesn't just say, oh, I think I'll have a pot. You there, go and make a pot. God makes the pot. It means that God's hands are directly upon our lives, are directly upon my life, are directly upon your lives. God looking after us is a hands-on experience. Have you ever thought of your life in those terms? God's hand is upon your life. My third thought, it means that we have the stamp of God upon us. We have the seal of God upon us. You know, it's hard to create something and then just sort of forget it. You've created it. It's like part of you goes into it in the process of creating it. Something of the potter goes into the pot. Just as something of the artist goes into the painting. Just as something of Alex Ferguson goes into Manchester United. You know what I mean? Just as something of the conductor goes into the orchestra. It bears his character. It has his stamp upon it. We have the stamp of God upon us. We reflect in our lives who God is. God is the potter. We are the clay. The Bible puts it in lots of different ways. It says things like, we are made in the image of God. It says things like, God has put eternity in our hearts, and our hearts are restless until we find him. We are connected to God in a very real way. We are the work of his hands. We have something of God in us. And this is as true for us as it is for us as individuals, as it is for us as the church. The church has the mark of God upon it. We are, I mean, Paul puts it, we are the body of Christ. God is the life force that unites us and drives us and gives us strength. We are the body of God. God's hand is on our lives. Okay, fourth thought. It sort of gets deeper and deeper and deeper. Fourth thought. This connection we have, this connection between the potter and the clay, it's not just about knowing or understanding or acknowledging, oh, well, that's my pot, I made it. Oh, that's the person who made me. It's not just a head thing, it's a heart thing. I don't know, hands up if you're a member of our men's group. Quite a few here, I know, yeah, quite a few, waving the odd tentative hand. Remember a few years ago when we went down to Doodles in Marchmont and we spent a very quiet and concentrated time painting clay things, which were then fired. Remember that? This is what I did. I painted this. I didn't make the jug. They supplied us with the jugs. All I did was paint it. Painstakingly. For my wife. For Christmas. Interestingly enough, I said to her, I thought we needed a decent pourer for a milk jug. I'm not using that as a milk jug, she said. So it's been on the mantelpiece ever since. She doesn't even know I've got it here today. Don't tell her. But you know, I didn't spend all that long on this. But if something happened to it, I'd be devastated. You know, if I dropped it, whoa. You see, when you create something, it's not just a head thing, it's a heart thing as well. Something of you goes into it. Something of the joy of creating goes into it. I better put this carefully down now. So just as when a potter sees the pot turning out well, he feels joy. Oh, that's good. Oh, I'm glad. And that's the sort of thing that God feels about you. He feels joy. And we can feel his joy. It's a sort of two-way thing. God feels joy when we turn out well. We can also feel his joy. Remember that famous line in Chariots of Fire, the Eric Liddell line? When I run, I feel God's pleasure. You see? He is feeling God's joy. It's a heart thing. God feels real joy when he looks upon us. We too can feel his pleasure. You may well have experienced that feeling at some point in your lives. I know I've experienced it sometime. I hope you've experienced it. And it's not a pride thing, and it's not an arrogance thing. It's a sense of self-worth. It's a sense that you've sensed that well done from God. That's you feeling God's pleasure. It's something that Jesus takes up. Remember in the parable of the talents, that the two servants who do well, the master says, well done, good and faithful servants. Come now, what does he say? Come now and enter into the joy of the Lord. You too can share in God's pleasure because you've done well. It's interesting, isn't it? We experience God's joy. We can feel his pleasure. That's the thinking behind the joy campaign that you're going to be hearing about in a few minutes' time from Chris. The joy of giving. The joy of giving our time. The joy of giving our talents. The joy of giving our money. It's all about the joy which comes when we use what God's given us for his work and for his glory. When we do that, we share in his pleasure. Unfortunately, Jeremiah has not finished with us yet. So let's get back to that image of the potter and his clay. Because the inverse also holds. Just as the potter will feel joy when the pot is shaping up so you know, well, oh, it's turning out fine, oh, this is good. Similarly, the potter will feel sadness and frustration when he sees a flaw. He knows that a flawed pot, however good it looks, will not last. It won't even survive the heat of the kiln. However good it looks, a flawed pot is not much use. And remember the question that we began with, is it possible to start again? Is it possible to start again? Well, look at what God is saying to us through Jeremiah. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best. Can you see why it's such a wonderful image? Can you see why I think it sort of it captures this the creation and redemption, the gospel message in a one-er? Because through Jeremiah, God is saying, yes, it is possible to start again. Why? Because God is the potter, we are the clay. And clay is soft, and clay is malleable. So when the potter spots the flaw, he doesn't say, oh, and throw the clay away. Discard it, useless, rubbish. No, he says, oh. And he just breaks it down again and starts again. But the clay is still the same clay. See, it's a lovely image. And yes, the potter doing that is a painful thing. You know, he thought he was creating something beautiful, high hopes, and oh, flaw. So there's a disappointment there in having to sort of break it down again. There's a sadness. But it's also a redemptive thing. It's a saving thing. He has not thrown the clay out. He is using it to make something better. Is it possible to start again? Well, yes, if we keep God in the picture. And yes, if we realize that we, and this is important, we are not a finished product. We are just a work in progress. You are just a work in progress. This church is just a work in progress. Have you got that point, or do I need to say it again? Because it's probably the biggest point of today. We are just a work in progress. Do you think of yourself like that? A work in progress. Because that opens you up to all sorts of possibilities. Through Jeremiah, God is telling the people of Judah that they're just a work in progress. And his words to them are actually words of warning. They are the pot with a flaw, he's saying. God is going to have to take them and break them down again so that he can begin again. And it won't be easy. In other words, there will be troubles ahead, to quote a well-known song. There will be troubles ahead. There will be invasion. There will be destruction. There will be death. There will be exile. There will be slavery. So they're words of warning, but they're also words of promise. When this happens, he's saying, it doesn't mean God has abandoned you. It doesn't mean God has given up on you and is going to start again somewhere else with some other people. God is just breaking you down so he can build you up again. Remember last summer we were looking at the story of Nehemiah, and we talked about the end of that process. They had been broken down, and through Nehemiah and Ezra, they were being built up again. They had returned at last. They'd rebuilt the walls. They'd rebuilt the temple. They'd reclaimed their land, and they had rediscovered God's worship. And remember one of the Sundays we looked at that great gathering where they all came unbidden to Jerusalem to celebrate this. And they demanded that Ezra the priest read out the law to them. And they all listened to the law. First time it had been read properly for a long, long time. And they were distraught when they heard it. They were given a glimpse of the glory of God. And they were in tears because of all they had been missing out on all these years. And you may remember Ezra's words to them. He said, stop your weeping. This is not a time for weeping. This is a time for rejoicing because you have been restored. You've been broken down, but now you are being built up again. And his advice to them was, stop your weeping. Just go home and celebrate. Because remember, the joy of the Lord is your strength. You are experiencing God's joy. You are sharing in his pleasure. You have been built up again. There is hope. And what about us today? You know, it's always good to ask the question, if I could begin again, What would I do differently? If I could begin again, what would I do differently? I spoke earlier about the things that are wrong in our world today. You know, they're hard to ignore because they're affecting us all. We, at a global level, are in the middle of an economic crisis. But it's been our own fault, actually. And things do have to change. And yes, it may well be painful. Yes, it may well be painful. And yes, there will be hard times ahead. But it may be what needs to happen so that God can break us down and build us up again. And the same thing could be said about the state of the Church of Scotland just now. The Church of Scotland isn't at the peak of its health. You hear of congregations in deficit and buildings closing and shortages of ministers. But we've got to remember that the church is also just a work in progress. And all these things may be necessary so that God can break us down so that he can build us up again. And what about our own lives? What about your own life? What about my own life? If you were able to live your life all over again, if you were able to live this last year all over again, or even this last week all over again, how would you do it differently? You know, if it was me, I've got a long list of things that I would do differently. How would you do things differently? You know, that's why I love this image. It's a lovely image. It's a glorious, hope-filled, tender image of God's love for us. It tells me that for me, things are not set in stone, that I'm still a work in progress. It tells me that he has no intention of giving up on me. He has no intention of throwing me on the scrap heap. It tells me that he has every intention to mold me into the person that he wants me to be. Someone who will give him joy and someone who will be able to share in his pleasure. And it's the same when it comes to all of us, because this is our God. So let's finish with a time of reflection. Let's just pause for thought, if you like. In a few moments' time, we're going to be invited to come and sit with our Lord and Master at his table. And everybody is invited to be part of that. It's open to anyone who knows him and loves him as their Lord and Savior. So everybody's welcome. No one's excluded. So we're going to be invited to sit with our Master at his table. And before we do that, here's some things to think about. Think about the things in your life which might be giving him joy just now. And now think about the things in your life which might be causing him disappointment and sadness. And think about the question, is it possible to start again? Is it possible to change? Well, think about the image of the potter and the clay, how the potter can only work with material that's malleable, that's willing to change, that's willing to be shaped. And ask yourself, are you willing to let him shape your life? Are you willing to surrender the whole of your life into his hands? Or are there some parts you still want to hold back? Because they're the parts that are in danger of becoming brittle and hard and set. So in the silence, have a wee conversation with God about these things. And if you're thinking you may still need help with some of them, remember, the source of your strength is the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord can be your strength. Loving Father, we offer you our lives, asking that you would change us. We are just a work in progress. Come in the power of your Spirit. Come and renew us. Drive out from us all the things that don't belong, that we may know your joy, that the joy of the Lord may be our strength. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The team that's planning the Joy Campaign has been thinking about a hymn which might be appropriate for it. And we thought of all sorts of different hymns. But here's one that might be a really good one. We're going to be continuing worshiping God with our offering as we sing this song. O breath of life, come sweeping through us. Shall we stand?